Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer at WNYC, and when Human Rights Watch took a close look at pretrial detentions in New York City a few years ago, they found that nearly a quarter of those admitted to jail in 2009 were there because they were charged with only misdemeanors but could not make bail. Nearly a quarter. A bill signed into New York State law last month will allow charities to post bail in an effort to change that. The idea is that charities will be able to post bail of $2,000 or less in misdemeanor cases to keep defendants from pleading guilty because they can't afford bail or staying in jail while their case makes its way through the system. So we're opening up the phones now to hear from you if you've had an experience with this issue in New York City jails. If you haven't been able to afford bail, if you've pleaded guilty to a lesser charge, or if you've even had to stay in jail while your misdemeanor case makes its way through the system, we want to hear your story. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. What was the calculation that you made in pleading guilty or not? What happened to you ultimately as a result of your decision? And anyone else related to this story, prosecutors or public defenders you may call in, or judges or loved ones of the defendants involved dealing with these kinds of cases. 212-433-WNYC. It's an area of New York life not that well known to people not directly involved, but that affects so many New Yorkers and is not that well known. So let's make it better known. 212-433-9692. And joining me is Robin Steinberg, Executive Director of the Bronx Defenders, which created the Freedom Fund for just this reason. Robin, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
So Governor Cuomo signed this bill into law last month. I understand that it's a bill created in part to address your group specifically. Why weren't charities previously allowed to be bondsmen?
Well, before the new legislation, bail in New York was governed by Article 68 of the insurance law. And frankly, when that law was passed and written, the legislature never even contemplated the idea that a nonprofit bail fund might exist. So the law was actually created to make sure that bail bondsmen and entities that were in the business of doing bail bonds for a profit were going to be regulated appropriately. The problem with that for not-for-profits who wish to create an entity that can post bail for people who can't afford it on their own is that the requirements under the insurance law were far too onerous for not-for-profits to meet. So the law sort of created these financial and legal burdens for nonprofits that we couldn't overcome. So the legislation, which was just passed with the hard work of Assemblyman Boyle and Assemblyman Aubrey and Senator Rivera, who were instrumental in getting this new bill passed in the Assembly and in the Senate, the new law basically says that you can actually create a legal framework for charitable bail organizations to post bail like the Freedom Fund. The organizations will still be regulated. Nonprofits can apply to the superintendent now to become a certified charitable bail organization. They'll have to recertify every 5 years, and then there are certain restrictions that will be placed on the charitable bail organizations, but it will for the first time enable charities to actually post bail for low-income and poor people who can't afford bail.
What kinds of charges are we talking about here with misdemeanors? What's the typical case for the Bronx Freedom Fund?
Trespass, jumping a turnstile, petty larceny, a barroom fight, graffiti, sort of the low-level possession of drugs at a low level, possession of marijuana. Those are the kinds of cases that you see in the misdemeanors, and those are the kinds of cases that this law will actually enable now organizations to actually post bail for people who can't afford it.
So let's hear from some people who've gotten caught up in this before. Ed in Jamaica, Queens, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ed.
Yeah, how you doing?
All right.
I'm familiar with the law because I personally, when I in my younger days, had an altercation or experience with the law. And as far as bail is concerned, I just think it should be a higher amount, a minimum of $1,000. Because, well, specifically with me, what happened was, remember, I don't know if you recall, back in the days of Giuliani with the anti-crime and the TNT and the large neighborhood sweeps they would put out with yep. several officers just sweeping up a neighborhood. I was on my way home from work, and back then I worked off the books, and I got paid in cash. And I got caught up in a sweep, and because I had such a large amount of cash on me, they tied me in with the local drug dealers and everything that was going on at that in this neighborhood in Southeast Queens that I was living in at the
mm-hmm.
time.
Right.
And I couldn't, you know, bottom line is they gave me a bail, and I couldn't afford it at the time.
Because, what was it? Do you remember?
It was like a $1,500 bail.
Uh-huh.
And I was young, I was single. I lived basically from paycheck to paycheck. I was
right.
working off the books. I didn't have that amount of capital at the time to actually bail myself out and fight the case. Because the bottom line is, when you're locked up, even if you're accused of a crime you didn't commit, if you're locked up, you're under stress and you can't fight it. And you have to worry
right.
about things like your job. Me, for instance, I had to get back to work. I couldn't be out for a long time. And
so you feel that you pleaded guilty to a crime you didn't commit
yes.
because you couldn't afford bail and to mess up your life that much.
Yeah, well, they offer you, okay, we're going to offer you 5 years probation. And if you stay out of trouble, we'll take it off. You understand what I'm
yeah,
saying? So
I
you're
did.
Trapped off
right.
because you have to make a living. You can't afford to be locked up in a system for too long a time. And it's stressful. I mean, it's very stressful. And a lot of people plead out the case. Charges that they did not commit are a bogus offer because when you're locked up, the equation is when you're locked up already, 90% of the time you're going to be locked up. You understand what I'm saying?
I do. Ed, thank you very much. I really appreciate you sharing your story. And Robin Steinberg from the Bronx Freedom Fund, I'm sure that's just the kind of story that you're focusing on with using your charity to post bail for people who can't afford it. For most people, $1,000 bail is not that much of a problem, our listeners might think, but only 17% of those held on $1,000 bail in 2010 were able to make bail. And of those held on bail of $500 or less, 44% still stayed in jail. So it's obviously a huge problem, a huge economic hurdle for so many people who are charged with misdemeanors. Why do you think judges keep setting bail out of reach?
You know, I think part of the problem, Brian, is that judges, it's incomprehensible to some people who don't come from a lot of the communities that our clients come from, that aren't coming from low-income families, that aren't poor. It's inconceivable that a person or a family can't put together $500 to $1,000 to post bail. But what's important to note is that in 2011, if you looked at the amount of people that are sitting on Rikers Island in a jail cell on bail that is $2,500 or less, that's 25,000 people in 2011 who could not fight their cases from home simply because they couldn't post bail of $2,500 or less. It's a real problem. And if you look at those numbers even more specifically, you can see that almost 9,000 people could not even post between $10 and $500 in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
So we have 25,000 people sitting on Rikers Island simply because they can't post $2,500 bail or their loved ones can't come up with that money, and they're sitting in a jail cell not having been convicted of a single thing. This is all pretrial.
Eric in Bed-Stuy, you're on WNYC. Eric, I appreciate you calling.
Hey, yeah, I just kind of wanted to echo what the other person said when they called a minute ago. I had a very similar situation. I was picked up on something that I ended up getting dropped entirely.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, pre-trial, depending on where you are, depending on your judge, depending on the attorney for the DA, you know, my bail was $2,500. If I paid $250, I wouldn't have made my rent that month if I went to a bondsman, so that wasn't an option. I don't have $2,500 that, you know, they tell you they give you back to you, but then you have to wait for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I sat in a jail cell for 2.5 weeks till I finally was brought before our judge again. It was immediately clear that there was no evidence against me, and they let me out, but that was it.
Wow. So were there ramifications for your life that you had to take 2.5 weeks to be missing?
I lost my job.
You did.
You know, your social life obviously collapses. I cannot begin to explain to someone who's never been incarcerated before how psychologically damaging it is. I don't think that everyone who goes into a jail cell becomes a bad person. I don't think that I did. But, you know, when you put someone in a cage and you treat them like an animal, sometimes they begin to act like animals.
I hear what you're
and
saying.
It's really, the justice system in the city is broken. You know, the NYPD can just pick you up. They're stopping and frisk you. Oh, you got something in your pocket? Oh, too bad. Now you get to go into a jail cell. Now you're off the street. Now you're tied up in the system. Now you have to give us money. Oh, sorry, we ruined your life. Doesn't matter. We don't have to do anything about it. Oops, our mistake. Sorry. That's all you get. It's nonsense.
Eric, I really, really appreciate your call. Does stop and frisk, in your experience, Robin, intersect with this bail bond problem that you're talking about?
It's an interesting question. I mean, certainly stop and frisk impacts it in that when there is an arrest that is the result of a stop and frisk, it is almost always for a minor misdemeanor, typically a marijuana possession. So certainly those people are coming into the system because of the stop and frisk policy. And as you know, in a given year, more than 600,000 people are stopped and frisked in the city of New York by NYPD. So when they are, those cases will come in the system and low amounts of bail will tend to be set. The other place that intersects is that the stop and frisk practices of the NYPD target poor communities of color. That's indisputable, right? The majority of people, over 80% of people who are stopped in stop and frisk practices by the NYPD are Black and Latino young men from poor communities of color. So again, what you see is you're driving people into the system who are coming from poor communities of color, and then they get into the system and bail is set, and those are precisely the people and the people's families who can't actually make the $500 or the $1,000 or the $2,000 bail that gets set at the arraignment.
Plus, I gather that the bail bondsman often won't even get involved with these small amounts, like $250 would be their take for a $2,500 bail, because it's just too small to be worth their time.
That's exactly right, which is why the legislation really covers posting bail up to $2,000.
Uh-huh.
Those are precisely the people who would not actually be even eligible to go to a bondsman, who are involved in the business of making profit off of posting people's bail.
So ultimately, this system is costing the city money. In that report I mentioned earlier, Human Rights Watch calculated that the city could have saved $42 million if it had not incarcerated 16,000 non-felony defendants arrested in 2008 who were unable to make bail of $1,000 or less. So what's the alternative? Is it going to be all that state law now enables your charity to bail these people out?
Well, the alternative, there are several alternatives. I mean,
and we have about a minute left. So,
okay, creating something like the Freedom Fund is certainly one way to reach low-income people and poor people who can't post bail up to $2,000. That's certainly one good strategy. The other strategy is that judges ought to be using the other forms of bail that are available to them other than cash bail. The criminal procedure law allows 8 different forms of bail to be set. A lot of those don't involve posting any cash bail at all. And if judges would actually begin to use those alternative forms of bail rather than relying on cash bail, you could also go a long way to making sure that people pre-trial are back out in the community with their families while their cases are wending their way through the system.
And we will have to leave it there. My guest has been Robin Steinberg, Executive Director of the Bronx Defenders. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
And we've been talking about the Bronx Freedom Fund, which the group started for their clients, and the new law signed by Governor Cuomo just a couple of weeks ago to make it legal for charities to post bail up to $2,000 in misdemeanor cases. Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up next. We'll remember Gore Vidal, who died yesterday, with Kurt Anderson from Studio 360. Stay tuned.